You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
G-Money. G-Money. I respect your game, sir. Welcome to the show.
Marty, it's great to be here. Shade lay to you and the TFTC crew. Yeah, man, it's a good day to be alive.
It is a good day to be alive. It's a good day to be recording. Thank you for doing this on such short notice. As I let you know in DM, somebody bailed on me today, so I had time slot open up, and I think the tip that you've been on is one that I'm becoming more more interested in. Not that I haven't been interested in it in the past, but I think if we're out there looking at what the government is doing, not only with our tax money, but with the dollars they're printing out of thin air, it seems morally reprehensible to be supporting the system of infinite war. I mean, we wrote about something in the newsletter, covered what Robert Malone unearthed, and many other researchers have been unearthing for years, but Lyme disease created in a lab, released into the public. Many people have died from it. Many people are terminally ill from it. A Lone Star tick created in a lab. Same thing. COVID created in a lab. Epstein files highlighting that the government and many of the largest corporations are filled with satanic pedophiles. And it feels like taxation is a humiliation ritual at this point.
Yeah, it started with your ex post last night, and I've been kind of down this road for a while. And I think a lot of us at some point reach kind of our red line to where, like, enough is enough. They killed your grandma, right? They shut down your business. They made you or forcibly tried to inject you with poison. They stole an election, right? They're creating all these biolabs, like they're creating genocide. And so, you know, when you realize like you have no power or authority in a proof of stake democracy, right? Us as Bitcoiners, we understand proof of work. That's why we don't buy Ethereum. That's why we don't buy XRP, because we understand a small group of people handing over power to a small group of people to constantly change the rules never ends up great for the people that support it. And so what we've been doing is the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. But here we are again, right? In a situation to where you have no power in democracy, right? American democracy is literally a shit coin, because 1,000 people get to control 300 million and you only need, you know, 501 of those people to defect to, right, get together to overthrow the will of 300 million. And to me and you, like, that's a shit coin, front and center. And I think people need to realize is that there is a peaceful weapon where people can take back their power. And now we've weaponized consent. So an individual can now say, no, I have a moral red line to not support genocide, biolabs, all these different things. And so right now, if you are paying your federal income tax, you are aiding and abetting a criminal cartel thug. Like, that is just full stop what you're doing.
Yeah. And it's fine. I saw actually a clip on X this morning. I think it was a Christian nationalist, but he was basically highlighting, like, nobody is radical today. Like, you may think you're radical, like calling out the government and shitposting on X, but throughout history, if the government pushed as far as it has, to the point that it has today, like, there would be violent uprisings. And to be clear, not calling for a violent uprising, but I do think just from a sociological observational perspective, it is interesting comparing modern times to history, particularly with how docile the masses are when they're getting completely robbed and extorted by, as you mentioned, a completely immoral mob of thugs, essentially, that are making our lives materially worse off. And I think that's a big question for everybody. I think there's, especially right now, I think everybody has these feelings, but there's that feeling of relative lack of agency or ability to actually do anything. And I think people view, the idea of not paying your taxes and getting thrown in a cage is the biggest hindrance to that. It's like, well, I don't agree with this, but if I don't cough over 30% of my income, they're going to throw me in a cage. And I have a family, I have a life, I don't want to sit in a cage. So I can't do that.
Yeah. You know, it's been a domestication process for a long time through licenses, permissions, right? Everything now is legal for a fee, right? You can't even go out and enjoy a park or an ocean without paying something when literally this world was given us to first, you know, for free, essentially. And so what is that, right? What did they do for the world wars? Well, they sent all the alphas, right, into the meat grinder, right? Got rid of them through that process. And so now we're left with the decision. Are you going to continually bend the knee to a satanic group of pedophiles, or are you going to stand up? And, you know, it takes a lot of courage for individuals to finally hit that red line and to be like, enough is enough. But if you look at, you know, the past of 1776, like the gentlemen that put their lives on the line, they put their livelihoods on the line, like they were like basically facing sudden death or capture from an enemy that would literally torture them. Now we're like, oh, we may have to go to jail for a little bit. And, you know, in our scenario, we could literally put our Bitcoin in self-custodial Bitcoin, tell the government to go fuck themselves. And then, like, you know, you get free room and board for maybe a couple years. I mean, you can see what's happening with the political elite who don't pay their taxes, right? None of them go to jail. And by the way, Marty, I've got a 6-year head start on all of you guys. I stopped filing my federal income taxes when the fake election of Joe Biden went through. And I said, enough is enough, right? Because they can't arrest everyone. It's a numbers game. And so if enough of us actually stand up, by the way, there's thousands of studies on this, that if you have at least 3.51% of the population in a peaceful protest, it actually causes major upheavals to the current social order through peaceful protest. And so really, you know, Bitcoin is a revolution of love. We have the moral high ground, right, to stand in accordance with our own values, to say enough is enough. It's time to end this stuff. And what happens is eventually Bitcoin is going to become the most worth, like the most valuable thing on the planet. And when Bitcoin becomes the most valuable thing on the planet and governments cannot print free energy out of thin air, they're going to have to start negotiating with us. Like, hey, Marty, can you throw me some sats to build this biolab in Ukraine to like create a worldwide epidemic? Are you cool with that, Marty? Like, are you cool with that? But right now, right, we hand over our power and authority through voting. And that essentially has defanged us, right? Like voting is basically chopping your own dick off because you have given over your power and authority to another figure to do whatever they want. And by the way, there's no recourse if they do something you don't like.
Yeah, fell for it again. Fell for it again is the meme of the day right now. Voting, another humiliation ritual that I've participated in only twice in my life and greatly regret it. But I mean, you said you stopped paying your income taxes 6 years ago. I imagine it wasn't just you woke up one day and had this epiphany like, oh, I got to stop doing this. I imagine it built up over years. And so I think a little bit more background on your personal story and like what led you to have these beliefs and this conviction and the agency and the willpower to actually follow through with it. Like what led you to this point?
Yeah. So, I think what really pissed me off was I was at the Las Vegas shooting. So I was at the country concert in Las Vegas where, you know, some guy killed 58 people, which, by the way, that story was complete bullshit. And so that incident, that near-death experience, right, pissed me off. My buddy got shot in the leg, you know, a couple feet away from me. He's okay, thank God. But, you know, I felt helpless in a situation that I had no control or power over. And it made me really angry because I was like, dude, like I want revenge. I need to figure out what happened. And so I scoured the internet looking for all types of clues because the mainstream media completely lied about everything. There was probably multiple shooters. We were probably being shot at through helicopters. Like, I don't know, right? I know it wasn't that one dude in a freaking hotel room though, right? And so really I got pissed off and I started scouring the internet and I come across this, you know, this group of information called Q, QAnon. You probably heard of Q as a conspiracy about drops relating to a satanic group of pedophiles ruling the world through bankers and politicians, right? Shocker. It ended up basically becoming true. And so what happened was, over the years, through this information drop that was like a Socratic method, it wasn't like telling you information, it would make you ask questions, go research it. And then after a while, we started connecting these dots and being like, yo, there's some kind of military possible operation that is like coming around to possibly, you know, rein in the power of these small group of people. You know, for me, it always sounded kind of too good to be true. Like, hey, man, like, this sounds really good to be true. We're going to arrest Hillary Clinton and we're going to take everybody down. Because in the back of my mind, I was like, you know, if we don't fix the money, like, this whole Q operation is just kind of bullshit, right? Because like, if you arrest everybody, like, the bankers are just going to get in control again in 20 or 30 years. And then you realize, like, wait a minute, there's this decentralized, anonymous, like, peer-to-peer currency thing that's happening that nobody knows, you know, who created it or whatever. And so I started connecting all these dots and basically putting an orange lens across all the Q drops. And when you kind of understand that, because the Q movement never mentions Bitcoin, never mentions crypto, doesn't talk about it. It does bring up John Perry Barlow, which, if you understand his thesis on, you know, the Declaration of Independence of cyberspace, it's basically Bitcoin. And so if you put like the Declaration of Cyberspace of, you know, through John Perry Barlow, you put our Declaration of Independence, right? And you put Bitcoin together, you literally get this culmination of this digital 1776, right? And I believe that Bitcoiners need to think a little bit bigger and realize that Bitcoin is probably a huge part of a bigger master plan. Because if there's pure evil in the world, Marty, there has to be some good out there, right? That's the duality of what we live in. And so understanding that there are probably good people that are helping, you know, beneath the scenes or behind the scenes to some degree, to help bring about this new world of abundance, freedom, and sovereignty. That's kind of where I go. And so I really started to build up this conviction and realize, like, holy crap, did you realize the counterinsurgency guide put out by the US military, nicknamed Coin, by the way, was put out on the same month and year as the Genesis block, January 2009. And you realize Coin actually stands for counterinsurgency. And counterinsurgency itself is basically the definition of a counterinsurgency is, hold on, I'm going to grab it real quick because I off the top of my head, but I'm going to give you the exact context, is made to be defined as a comprehensive civilian and military effort taken to simultaneously defeat and contain insurgency and address its root causes. And so when you kind of like get down this rabbit, you're like, wait a minute, like, what are the root causes of all the evil in this world? Well, it's the fiat money printer. And then you realize, like, well, if we're the counterinsurgency, right, and we have this now, this weapon of peace, right, then maybe like it's up to us to actually turn the tables on them and fight this thing peacefully through this fifth generation warfare. Because, you know, I ain't going to go storm the Capitol with muskets. Like, that's not going to work. We're in an information war where knowledge is power, truth is power, and we have the ultimate power, you know, backed by real watts, joules per second, right? And this is where the software Jason Lurie thesis comes into play, of Bitcoin as a weapon system, right? A global governance weapon systems that allows sovereignty at the individual level, but collectively we protect each other through the network. So that's kind of just a little bit of a synopsis of, you know, how I kind of figured this out. Because if you logically, like, you know, Monte Carlo's scenario, right, Marty, like, you can keep voting hard, see where that kind of ends up, right? You can take muskets to, you know, Washington, I guess, you know, but the kinetic stalemate, you know, and the kinetic war is not going to win you any friends out there. But if we fight this peacefully and we take the moral high ground, and we realize that no government or military can co-opt the network at this point, and we all just kind of opt out, then wait a minute, that flips the tables and gives power back to the people.
Yeah, a lot to digest here, because I mean, I'm sorry that you were physically there during the Las Vegas shootings, I, for the longest time, called bullshit on that immediately. I actually had John Collin on,
he's great. He's probably got the best research, yeah.
Yeah, and I think his theory that there was some sort of inter-Saudi royalty beef that played out in Vegas that day makes the most sense to me. I don't think it was that guy in the Mandalay Bay. I mean, if you just run the numbers and like the amount of ammo that was shot in the amount of time. Like, it doesn't make any sense. So I think they definitely, that was a psyop, whether or not it was a cover up or a psyop, I think. And then you have the theories of it was some satanic ritual with like the pyramid and all that as well. Who knows exactly what it was, but it wasn't what they told us. The QAnon stuff, to be frank, like QAnon to me, it's always been like, hey, I think they're directionally correct, but I think there is some sort of psyop going on where they're just being led to these sort of dead ends and being forced to look like crazy people. But directionally, I've always been, especially after Pizzagate, like anybody can call you a conspiracy theorist, but if you actually went and read the emails and then look at James Alphonse's Instagram before it locked down, which I did, and I have the screenshots, like there's something is going on there. And you can't tell me not to believe my lying eyes. I've seen the emails and I saw that Instagram page specifically. And that was a dark, dark rabbit hole when it immersed. And then obviously with the Epstein files today, it's like, you know, literally talking about this stuff in the open in these emails. And it seems like the admin or whoever's in charge, deep state, whoever it may be, is trying to sweep it under the rug. And I do completely agree too. That's, I think that's the most frustrating thing. It's like nobody wants to get kinetic. I think you're an idiot if you think storming the Capitol or beginning to start a kinetic civil war is going to be productive. You're going to end up with the French Revolution style fucking chaotic situation. So I have always been a big believer that Bitcoin is this peaceful revolution. And I think that is the thing as Bitcoiners that we really, to your point, need to think bigger and try to, I think that's, I mean, I've been in this game for 13 years now and professionally for almost 9 years writing and talking about it. And I think that's one thing I've been iterating on and trying to figure out. And admittedly, I don't think we've been as successful as I would like to be. Is like, how can you convince the masses, or maybe not even the masses, just that critical mass of 3.5% of people, 3.51% of people, that this is how you opt out and exit and actually affect meaningful change. I don't think that's something we figured out yet.
Sup, freaks. This rip of TFTC was brought to you by our good friends at BitKey. BitKey makes Bitcoin easy to use and hard to lose. It is a hardware wallet that natively embeds into a 2 or 3 multi-sig. You have one key on the hardware wallet, one key on your mobile device, and Block stores a key in the cloud for you. This is an incredible hardware device for your friends and family, or maybe yourself, who have Bitcoin on exchanges and have for a long time, but haven't taken the step to self-custody because they're worried about the complications of setting up a private public key pair, securing that seed phrase, setting up a PIN, setting up a passphrase. Again, BitKey makes it easy to use, hard to lose. It's the easiest 0-to-1 step, your first step to self-custody. If you have friends and family on the exchanges who haven't moved it off, tell them to pick up a BitKey. Go to bitkey.world, use the key TFTC20 at checkout for 20% off your order. That's bitkey.world, code TFTC20.
Sup, freaks? Up next, the Bitcoin Scaling Conference, where Bitcoin developers meet institutional capital, is coming to New York next month. Join Bitcoiners from Blockstream, Chaincode, Brink, and more at the Can't Miss Summit at the intersection of Bitcoin tech and finance. This conference has one of the best signal-to-noise ratios, and that's why I'll be joining Blockspace's third annual Bitcoin Tech Conference on April 16th at the New York Times Center in Midtown Manhattan. There's only room for 200 attendees, and they've already sold more than 100 tickets of their open spots. So you've only got a few weeks to get your travel plans in order for New York. With the ticket, you get access to the best programming in Bitcoin tech, from BitVM to BitChat, catered lunch, and access to the PubKey After Party. Wearing the hat, PubKey After Party. Up next is where builders meet capital, founders find funding, and companies source top talent. Plus, meet institutional investors and developers from BlackRock, H.C. Wainwright, and Bitcoin Infrastructure Corp. If you're at a venture fund or another finance firm, this is the event to learn more about the quantum computing, bleeding edge Bitcoin tech, and topics that will define Bitcoin's futures. Go to opnext.dev for tickets and use the code TFTC to get 25% off a general admission or VIP ticket to the event. Again, that's opnext.dev, code TFTC, for 25% off a ticket. I'll see you there.
Yeah, I think it's just an undomestication process we've been going through. I think, you know, COVID was probably like the training wheels of humanity of like, hey, did you take the clot shot, right? Because there were literally, terrible consequences for people that did, right? Like, you had severe consequences for, injecting yourself with Fauci's poison. Now, you know, if you understand that us as like humans have never had like these natural predators, right? Every social program has basically meant to, domesticate us, make us more docile, provide, you know, benefits to us. We can see what's happening in the streets of LA, right? We can see what's happening on the streets of any big city in America. You know, you go to Europe or you go to, you know, Turkey. I've been, you know, I go overseas all the time and you don't see that over there. You know, you just don't see the poverty and the just like delusional, like give of humans just giving up on life. And so something's happened, right? Like something's happened to where we've basically saved a lot of these people that maybe, you know, you could say, well, that's mean, G Money. You shouldn't say we shouldn't save these people. But like, you know, we've literally propped up bad DNA, right? We've let them, right? We've let them have more children, right? We incentivize lazy people, fat people, whatever, to have more kids because the government pays them. And now we've got the smart, productive people that are like, well, wait a minute, we got to think about how, you know, it's all about, you know, idiocracy. Idiocracy is literally, you know, basically a documentary at this point. And so what is it going to take for people to realize, there's no winning this battle. There's no beating this system in the current system as it resides, right? It has to be done through a parallel system. And Jason Lurie's software thesis basically lays out the guidelines for why you've been domesticated, how they've basically exploited your belief system to control you, and that, these different shamans, right? Presidents, preachers, have been doing this a long time because they want you under their control, because a docile, fearful nation is very easy to control.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, the media, it all feeds into it. Like today, the Bitcoin brief, we cover the fact that the population, I think in America specifically, of individuals who are between the ages of 0 and 14 is half of what it was 50 years ago. We're not reproducing at a rate that I think we should be. And I think a lot of it has been driven by this fiat monetary system, right? The dual income household became a very strong theme post 1971. You have inflation on top of that. So even if you do have a dual income household, it's hard to make enough money to sustain yourselves, let alone a large and growing family. And then on top of that, you have the social aspects, social media, mainstream media, gambling, pornography, this being used to just sort of dull the senses, sensitize everybody and detach them from what I would argue are moral imperatives, just like being a good person, raising a family and being a productive member of society. And I don't know if you believe in like the fourth turning thesis or sort of these cycles that exist, and are we just a generation, a few generations that are born or living through this inflection point where we just need to get through this chaos and eventually push will come to shove and people will wake up and flip the switch.
Yeah, well, I've always tried to build up like conviction in people. And like, hey, man, Bitcoin isn't just like a hedge against inflation. Like it's much, much bigger of a plan than people realize, because, you know, here we have this, you know, it's based upon TCP/IP, GPS, JA-256, all right, coincidentally, are U.S. military nuclear proof technologies. Okay. And you start putting some of these pieces together, realizing, right, they assassinated JFK because of Executive Order 11110. He was trying to rein in the power of the banks. And then you have, you have Trump come into office, puts up a portrait of Andrew Jackson in his first 3 days of office. Andrew Jackson, of course, was the general who coined the term drain the swamp. And he also was the one who defeated the central banks, right? He defeated the second central bank of the United States. And so when you go back through these Q drops and you realize there's a mathematical proofs. And so what I mean by that is like a lot of the Bitcoiners out there, right? I kind of call them like normies and stuff. Like they believe the HBO special, right, that had QAnon on there and said, oh, we got him, we found him, which was some, you know, guy in his basement, just like they found Satoshi, right? They found Satoshi, and, you know, we're supposed to believe all that, right? And so all of that's propaganda meant to, dissuade you from this information. But if you go back and look at what was attacked back then the most, it was Trump, it was Q, it was all these different conspiracy theories that are now basically have come true. And so I think there's a little bit of cognitive dissonance with Bitcoiners because they're like, oh man, like, man, maybe this isn't that true. I don't know. But now it's like in their face. And you've got Bitcoiners that figured out the money part of it, right? They realized that, but they didn't realize like how evil everything was, right? They thought like, hey, if we fix the money, like we can just go back to voting and paying our taxes and everything will be cool, man. You know, and it's funny because the other side of that equation, like the Q people, they know and realize all the evil shit that's happening, but then they think this Bitcoin stuff is like mark of the beast, right? Central bank digital currency. And so like I'm in the middle here going, hey, you guys need to like get together because together collectively, like we are going to beat this thing. Like it's mathematically impossible at this point to not beat it, right? With the network being in the 17th year, right, which is Q, being in the 250th anniversary of 1776. Like this is a very special year. And I think a lot of things are going to be happening. But the whole point here is that like this operation was meant to weaponize an individual, right, across the entire globe in a non-kinetic way so that they can opt out of this tyrannical system, right? You can opt out of slavery and bondage by, you know, if you're in a terrible country, you can put all your wealth into a seed phrase and walk across the border, right? Or if you're in, you know, in America and you want to, you know, stand here and fight like me, you know, you can set up different, you know, multi-sig cold storage devices that are geographically dispersed so that, you know, if something happens, you're typically, you know, you're going to be probably okay. Because the laws of this country are unjust. The congressmen are a bunch of criminals, all the way up the ladder. And the institutions are literally here to, they're here to kill you. I mean, I don't know how much more direct you can be about this, but these institutions here are here to, you know, indoctrinate you and basically put you to us in an early grave by making as most money off of you as possible. And so you are a slave. You just don't realize it because you don't feel like you're in a prison.
Yeah. No, I think that's becoming abundantly clear. And it's particularly, I'd be interested to get your thoughts on Trump administration, particularly with like the Q connection. Because again, hand up, I'll admit, like Q, directionally correct in my mind, but being led by a Pied Piper, some 4chan poster that is just trying to get them riled up and again, running into these dead ends and sounding crazy publicly. Because there's like, what was the one thing? I remember I had an Uber driver once who was a Q guy and he was explaining like the internet's going to go down next week and then they're going to open it back up and you're going to have like infinite energy Nocera or something like that.
Yeah, so that's something that Q never said. And so what you have is you have a fringe movement of these Q people. By the way, a lot of them are probably Mossad operatives that, you know, push the flat earth, they push JFK Jr.'s alive, they push, you know, all these crazy different conspiracies attached to the Q movement to make it look crazy. But if you actually go and read all the drops and you understand mathematical, like, you know, consistencies, right? We all understand that like your private key is mathematically impossible for anybody to guess at random, right? With all the compute power in the world. And when you go back and look at the Q drops, it's the same mathematical connections. Now there was probably like, I would say 95% of it was like bullshit, like just, you know, psyop-y misdirection on purpose because, you know, the enemy was looking at it as well. So, but what you had is a strong number of posts that directly correlated to either like a Trump tweet, something happening in the news the next day, you know, the Saudi purge, all these different things where somebody beforehand knew what was going to happen in the future. Okay. We call that a timestamp, right? Literally. So if you go back and timestamp some of those old posts, you'll realize like, holy shit. Like, I don't know what this is, but somebody over here is in the know. Okay. And Trump is involved and the military is involved in some way. And so something is going on behind the scenes, right? And it's not like it's hidden. Like Trump will literally retruth Q posts that say nothing can stop what is coming, right? And it has a big Q on it and all these different things. And so Trump consistently reposts this stuff, right? Just the other day, the White House posted something, the hunters become the hunted, which was actually a famous Qism quote. And so I call this like trust through verification. Like we're still getting these verified, like I call them like comms or coincidences that keep kind of happening after the fact. And you're like, well, this operation was dead. Why do they still like keep teasing this stuff? Because one of the main posts, one of the main Q posts says, "Nothing can stop what is coming" is not just a catchphrase. Are you ready to finish what we've started? And coincidentally, that post was done on October 31st, 2018. We all know what happened on October 31st. The Satoshi white paper was released to the world. Okay. And if you think about nothing can stop what is coming, you know, maybe the sun coming up tomorrow, maybe taxation, if you keep paying your taxes to pedophiles, death, and probably the next Bitcoin block. Like, there's probably not that many things in this world that you can stop, but there's probably a handful on you know, one hand you can realize, and Bitcoin blocks being mined is probably one of those. And so, you know, if you start to realize like this was an operation to decentralize the media, because before Q, 96% of like all the media across the entire globe was ran by six companies. Okay. And if you were going to break up that, you know, monopoly of information, how would you do that? Right. And, you know, I'm sure you probably heard about Pizzagate and all this other crazy stuff way back in the day. And you're like, well, I heard about that stuff, but it sounds a little too crazy. And now coming into fruition, I think people are starting to take it more seriously. But really, I think it was an information like dissemination propaganda to where it helped just break out all these conspiracy theories. Because back then, before we got banned on Twitter after January 6th, you know, our small group of like 15 people were getting like over 1 billion views a month on X. Like, we were killing it with all the connections to Pizzagate and the symbolism and Epstein and all these crazy, you know, famous people that were connected. And so that was, I think, what really kind of helped jumpstart this thing. And then you put the monetary layer on top of it, you know, there is just some definite connections in maybe this decompartmentalized operation.
So where does it stand today? Obviously, the last couple of weeks, a lot of people, particularly Trump voters, MAGA supporters, are not happy. President Trump, myself included. Like, I think this Iran stuff, at least from my perspective, looks like a miscalculation. Unnecessary. As a millennial who grew up, was 10 when 9/11 happened, formative years were Middle Eastern wars, great financial crisis, when I was 17, 18, COVID, when I was having my first child. Like, I'm pretty radicalized. I'm like, again, going back to the meme, like, fell for it again. Like, I guess that's a question that everybody has in their mind right now. The morale seems pretty low throughout the country.
Yeah, and I would say that's a lot of MAGA folks that have not found Bitcoin, right? Those are the folks that have not found Bitcoin and don't realize what the power of that is. And I kind of look at everything through like these main markers of like where we're at, right? Like, with in my opinion, the central bankers are enemy number one, okay? And so everything else that happens that gets us to defeating the bankers are just kind of like steps in that process. And if you understand that the Zionist regime, right, the Jewish Zionist bankers are probably at the top of this entire thing, where a couple years ago, even if you mentioned one negative comment about Israel, you were banned, you were completely sidelined. If you had a regular job, you were completely tarred and feathered, you know, socially, so that you couldn't even interact. And now, right, we're at a time to where people are waking up to the fact that there is this Zionist group of people that are probably in control of all the banks, all these different things that are happening, and that they probably infiltrated Iran. You know, I know they infiltrated Iran up all the way up into the Revolutionary Guard. Okay. And so, you know, understanding that Israel is responsible for much of the conflict that happens in the Middle East on purpose, right? To keep everybody on their toes, to keep conflict and war at the center footing of all of this, is what keeps them in power. I mean, don't even ask me about it. This goes back to the Henry Ford days. Henry Ford talked about this, you know, when he was alive in the 1900s. This isn't anything new. It's their same playbook. And so I think people need to understand that Trump is not your typical president, okay? He came in at a very special time, under very special circumstances, to not run politics as usual, okay? He is running a military operation plan to bring about a Bitcoin standard to the entire world, to bring about all these new technologies through Tesla, through SpaceX, through all these different entities. Because if you go back and look, you'll realize that the first person that got access to the Nikola Tesla files was actually Trump's uncle, John G. Trump. And you're like, wait a minute, that's wild, right? And you know, Trump was never a politician before he ran in 2016, right? He lost an election by 81 million votes, right? I mean, you know, and so I think there's a lot of noise out there that people get caught up in this emotional reactions to things when people don't know all the information. Like, we're literally in World War III. 95% of the stuff you see behind a screen is probably fake, right? And so we don't really know what's happening, actually, to some degree. But I have enough proofs and mathematical, you know, providence that I know that this is still, operation is still moving forward because Trump is still alive. The Bitcoin network is still thriving. We have a full, you know, integration into our financial system through the Genius Act and the Clarity Act. And Bitcoin just get mad at Trump being like, hey, Trump, you released all these shit coins. You made all this money. You did all this. And it's like, hey, man, like, if you are going to bring a culture like up to speed on crypto, like, you have to cast the widest net possible, man. Like, and so Bitcoin maxis are just like going to have to deal with the fact that Trump is fighting a culture war. Like, the Bitcoin maxis, like, you're going to come eventually, right? We all learn through pain and suffering, like, this was the only one. But if you don't even get into the, you know, on the playing field, you're not going to realize, you know, what you're into. And so I think Trump is casting this huge, you know, cultural net to get as many people on the field as possible. And those that don't do their homework are going to get burned, right? It's kind of like an adapt or die situation. And, you know, I think people just need to realize the end goal here is to bring about the end of the Federal Reserve, to bring about the destruction of the banking fiat cartel, and that these other operations in between are just a step to get to that direction. We don't know all the details. We're not in the skiffs, but we just have to have some trust with our leadership and our president to get the job done. And I know that's probably not a great answer. I know your listeners are probably like, ah, this is just some Trump. Like, I make fun of Trump all the time. I call it a shit coins. I call it the stuff, right? He's not like, you know, some sacred cow that we can't not, you know, talk shit to. But I think we have to realize that numero uno, right? Just, he put a post the other day about how the banking cartel is literally fighting against these new provisions of the Clarity Act and the Genius Act, which is basically going to, you know, re-engineer our financial system to get rid of fractional reserve banking, right? Allow individuals to earn their own interest, right? Versus the banks. And so I think we're in a slow transition and it takes time. And so people with patience and people that are very emotional are going to react to this stuff because they don't take a step back and look at the big picture of the number one enemy being the financial bankers that run the entire world. And that once this is all over, you know, however long that takes, I think we're going to be in a better place.
So, freaks, when you take Bitcoin seriously, you start with custody. You want to control your keys, avoid single points of failure, and make sure your savings cannot disappear because you or someone else screwed up. That is what Unchained has been focused on since 2016. Unchained is the leader in collaborative multi-sig custody and Bitcoin financial services that keep you in control. They secure over $12 billion in Bitcoin for more than 12,000 clients. That means about one out of every 200 Bitcoin sits inside an Unchained vault. Their model is simple. You hold two keys, they hold one key. It always takes two keys to move Bitcoin, meaning their single key can't access your Bitcoin on its own. Just resilient, shared custody that gives you institutional-grade security while keeping you sovereign. Unchained also lets you trade straight from your vault, access Bitcoin-backed commercial loans, open a Bitcoin IRA where you hold your own keys, and set up personal, business, trust, or retirement vaults. They even offer inheritance solutions built for long-term hodlers. Or opt for the highest level private client service with Unchained Signature and get a dedicated account manager, discounted trading fees, exclusive access to events and features, and much, much more. If you want a partner that helps you secure and grow your Bitcoin without giving up control, go to Unchained.com and use the code TFTC10 at checkout to get 10% off your new Bitcoin multisig vault. That's TFTC10 at Unchained.com. Sup, freaks? This rip was brought to you by our good friends at Salt of the Earth. It's so delicious. This is my pink lemonade electrolyte mix. It's pink Himalayan salt. There's no sugar. It's way better than LMNT Liquid IV. I went through a big electrolyte kick testing them all out, and I landed on this, settled on this, been drinking it pretty consistently every day for 2 years now. It is my favorite. This is the pink lemonade. They have orange here. As you can see, this one's ripped. I had this on the train ride back from New York last night. I'm always stocked up with these things. They also have creatine packets. Very convenient, particularly if you're traveling and you like to work out. You like to get those brain juices flowing. They have these creatine packets as well. They're about to launch a bunch more flavors, lemon lime, watermelon, and a few others as well.
So go check it out. Go to DrinkSote, DrinkSote.com. Use the code TFTC for 15% off. Seriously, game changer in our house. My wife drinks it. I drink it. Our boys drink it. Stay hydrated. It's a beautiful thing.
What would you say, just staying on like Genius Act and Clarity Act, I think many people are looking at this with a lens of skepticism, saying, okay, this is just a way to roundabout co-opt Bitcoin, get it integrated, quote unquote, integrated in the financial system. And then once that's happening, once that's happened, that's finished, you just create a moat around it. And you basically throw up these gates to say, hey, if you're not interacting with Bitcoin via these trusted institutions, you're doing it illegally.
Yeah, look, I think we're on a razor's edge on some of the fact, but if you understand who he's put in his administration, you've got Kevin Warsh, who's his new nomination for Fed chair, who, funny enough, called Bitcoin, right? If you're under 40, it's your new gold. He's got Scott Bessent, who's an absolute Bitcoin maximalist. He's got Howard Lutnick. And so, you know, whatever, you know, people think, you can look at his administration. And even back in his first term, a lot of Bitcoiners didn't pick up on this, but he actually hired Brian Brooks to become the director of the OCC back in 2017, right during COVID. And if you understand, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, like, literally is responsible for all the banking institutions in the U.S. Back in 2017, Brian Brooks and Steve Mnuchin made it legal for banks to custody Bitcoin, even way back when, in Trump's first term, when Trump literally called it, you know, thin air, right? And so people don't realize like how big of a Bitcoin maximalist Trump is. I actually, you know, kind of foretold this in a lot of my research called the Covfefe dig. I sent it to you. It'd be interesting for you to look at it after this and put it into your AIs and kind of play with it. But, you know, if you kind of look back and see that Brian Brooks kind of and Steve Mnuchin set that up back in the day, even before Trump's second term, and you realize like what he did with Space Force, and you see the hash power growth, and then you see like Mara, and then you see all these different doors that he's opening up for crypto. He's basically letting it be an open playing field, a pure capitalistic market. Hey, if you fall for some shitcoin, that's your fault, right? But at the end of the day, like, crypto is going to be here. Individuals at some point won't know if they're holding US dollars or a US stablecoin, but that it'd be better for them to hold a stablecoin versus a US dollar, because US dollar is backed by nothing, right? It's just a fractional reserve entry into a ledger in a bank account, where an actual stablecoin is actually backed by US treasuries. And so I think it's a smoother transition. It's less disruptive from going from our standard to a Bitcoin standard, and that the stable coins are kind of that pathway out of our current troubles and our current mess, right? It's a slow transition out of this fiat mess we're in, because we've been in it a long time. And so re-engineering our entire banking apparatus, by the way, Scott Bessent was the one who re-engineered, right, the collapse of the Great British Pound. Okay, that's odd. That's unique. And so maybe he's like, you know, basically, you know, doing that, but unwinding it in a positive way. You know, we see what Michael Saylor's doing with his engineering of Strategy and STRC, and he's got this flywheel open now. And, you know, Saylor's known the Trumps for 20 years, and we've got Starlink. So everybody in the world's going to be connected. We've got flying spaceships. So, like, I don't think any of us like actually foretold this future. But if you look at like what AI is bringing, and you look at the deflationary curve that's going right against an inflationary curve, because we know on a credit-based system, they need inflation. This deflationary storm is going to hit right at a time when they have to print a lot more money. And so I think Trump is intentionally blowing up the banking cartels through a smoother transition than most Bitcoiners would probably like.
Yeah. How important is self-custody throughout this transition, you think?
Do not trust anybody. Right? Like, I am an absolute advocate of holding on to your own keys. Multi-sig is probably the best option. You want to eliminate the single point of failure, because, you know, the only actual exchange you have out there with proof of reserves is River. Okay, Coinbase doesn't have it, right? No one else has it. And the fact of the matter is that Trump or anybody at any time could issue a 6102 and freeze everybody's Bitcoin across all exchanges at once. And so, you know, luckily for me, throughout the years, I've managed to lose a very small portion of my Bitcoin through rug pulls and scams and shitcoinery. But if you don't learn those hard lessons in the beginning, you're going to probably pay a lot heftier price later. And so I recommend you learn as much as you can about self-custodial Bitcoin. You learn how to set up your own wallets. You know, I teach people how to do it all the time. But you know, the other part of that, right, is that you have to weaponize your consent. You have to stop saying yes and complying to tyranny, right? Because again, taxation is voluntary. Humiliation ritual, as you put it, they make you fill out the forms, right? They make you sign your name. And, you know, that's probably the worst part of it, because you're actually agreeing to their system. When you've signed that document, you've purged yourself into basically agreeing to whatever you've done. And so, look, come and take it, right? Come and fucking take it. Let's go back to 1776, where we can tell them to be like, you know what, we're opting out. We'll take the moral high ground. If you want to come play in our field, you have to negotiate with us. You can no longer take from us without any consequence, right? There is no consequence for your actions. There is no way to hold any of these people accountable in this current form. And keep logicing yourself away out of that. Like, keep following the logic. If you can find a different way, Marty, let me know. I'll be first to like explore it with you and see if there's something there. But, you know, people say a perfect plan later is not as good as a good plan now. And I think the greatest plan now is for everybody to just stop complying with tyranny, opt out, let them try to come after all of us. I mean, really, it's a DDoS attack on their enforcement bureaucracy. They can't put us all in prison. And let's go, man. It's the 250th year of 1776. I'm bringing fire. I'm holding a virtual event on April 15th as a stand-in for not paying your taxes. And so, you know, it's funny, Marty, I was watching this Netflix special a couple weeks ago. And did you know that like the storm Area 51 got like over 2 million people interested in attending? Like storm and aliens, right? 2 million people on Facebook wanted to go to this thing. And here we are, right? Like vaccine poisons, genocide. And I'm like, hey guys, let's just stop paying our taxes, right? Don't you think we can get more than 2 million people for that? I don't know.
I mean, I think you should. You should be. I mean, I think the social environment has never been riper for such a thing. And it is funny. It's just because, again, going back to like the taboo of even having this discussion of not paying your taxes is such a third rail that people don't want to touch. But I mean, as we've been discussing, like it's gotten to a point where, I view it as a humiliation ritual and truly disgusting that we have to do this. Because the fraud is all over the place, whether it's the bioweapons, the endless wars, the pillaging of the social services that we're paying into Medicaid, Medicare, whatever it may be. And it's all been laid bare. Obviously, if you've been paying attention, like we have for many years, it's been obvious, but like it's been glaringly obvious in the last 6 to 9 months, specifically with just the deluge of uncoverings that have been hitting the tape. It's like, what is going to wake people up? And that's my biggest worry is, I think Greg Maxwell said this in the context of Bitcoin's biggest hurdle that it needs to overcome. But I think it's true beyond Bitcoin too. It's just complacency. Like how many docile sheep are out there, complacent individuals who just don't have the will.
Yeah. Courage is a lot more rare than intelligence. You know, if you look back at what Trump keeps pushing is the income is the tariffs, right? And if you realize that the income tax and the Federal Reserve were both created in 1913 and that we funded this country purely through tariffs before that, then you realize like tariffs are the way we can go without paying an income tax. Now, I'm all for a consumption tax, right? If you want to buy a BMW and a German car, and you're going to have to pay that, that consumption tax on that vehicle. But that's a voluntary choice. Like you're choosing to buy this product and pay that tax, right? If you buy it, you know, domestically, you probably don't have that tax, right? And if you understand that tariffs right now are a double taxation, they completely are. Income tax and a tariff are complete double taxation. But Trump, I think, is opening up one door for people to see so he can close that other one. I mean, he's already created the External Revenue Service. He says he's going to shut down the IRS. He's already fired 70% of the employees. Like, guys, he's already like basically dismantled this freaking like entity. Why are we still afraid of this?
No, I think it's like the fish of water thing, right? Like people have been conditioned their whole lives. And I think that was like the most radicalizing thing for me when I first found Bitcoin, is like recognizing that I was a fish in water in the in the context of just like how I viewed money. Like I had no idea what it was, what it should be, and what it could be until I found Bitcoin. And that was like incredibly radicalizing for me. I was like, holy crap, I've lived the first 20 years of my life not understanding this thing that I, not that I covet, but that I heavily depend on. I've been working a job since I was 12 years old. I've had a bank account since I was like 14. And it wasn't until I was like 20, 21 where I was like, oh, what is this? What is this money thing? And questioning it. And I think that's where mostly the populace, I would argue, probably 90 to 95% of people are right now.
Yeah, right. And the Federal Reserve was created in the middle of the night on Christmas Eve, right, by a small group of people. And a lot of people don't know that story, that it's a private corporation. You know, I've actually red-pilled more people through orange pills than trying to talk them about politics, because nobody likes to be stolen from. And this isn't a red or blue thing. Like, nobody likes to be stolen from. I will gladly join forces with Democrats, right, to stop paying their taxes. And they should. If they hate the president so much, like, why are they still paying their taxes, right, to this stuff, right? So this is actually a common goal that we can fight together, that we don't have to even talk politics, because all the political talking heads out there, like the Nick Fuentes and the Alex Jones and all these clowns, are trying to rope you back into politics. They want you fighting over the next freaking debate over red versus blue to get you distracted from the whole fact that they're all stealing through us through the monetary system so that they can continue on with their fraud, right? And so people need to stop falling for that, man. Like, they're only selling that stuff is because you guys keep buying it, right? Stop buying their bullshit. Opt out.
Yeah. To your point about the Federal Reserve, that's one thing we've been experimenting with at TFTC. I think you said it earlier, but we're in this info war. And in the age of AI, the info war has never been more intense. And it's a double-edged sword of an info war now, because you can be propagandized via these AI tools, or you can counter-propagandize with them as well. And we actually took the book, A Creature from Jekyll Island, and made like a script, and we made like a two-minute creation of the Federal Reserve video that's still going viral to this day. General Flynn actually shared it. A bunch of other accounts have just ripped it off, and they share it, and we don't care. It's a meme. It's out there. We're very proud to have made it and got it out there, and that it's gotten tens of millions of views across the internet now at this point. But it was funny. I woke up on, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, and General Michael Flynn was sharing the creation of the Federal Reserve video that we made.
General Michael Flynn is actually a big piece of this. Michael Flynn tweeted about Bitcoin on February 1st, 2015. And he called Bitcoin evolutionary destiny. Okay. Now he did quote an article, or did put an article in far of that. But if you understand who General Flynn is, okay, this is a very important person who not only was one of the first people to break apart Pizzagate, Wienergate, the laptop of Anthony Weiner, and the connection to Hillary Clinton and crimes against children. Okay. But he's, you know, one of the top brass out there that knows exactly what's going on. He was Trump's former national security advisor. Okay, this is a very smart man. And he was actually part of my journey, because I looked up to him and trusted him from, you know, his past, that him tweeting about Bitcoin was a very, very big thing. And if you understand February 1st is the passing of the 13th Amendment, which was basically, right, non-indentured servitude about slavery. Okay, and if you start kind of piecing some of these things together, there's very symbolic meaning through a lot of what's going on, and little like tidbits here and there, right? You had Michael Saylor with his first purchase averaging out to $11,111.11. And, you know, that kind of goes into some of my thesis through connections, but you'll probably find that a fun rabbit hole to explore.
Yeah. I mean, so I guess this is the other, again, steel manning. What you're saying, like, I'm a big, like, I go back and forth. And I think most of the time I'm a big believer of nobody's really in control. Like, there is no master plan. Like, everybody's retarded at the top. And you'd be shocked if you got in the rooms and saw how they're viewing. They're viewed as these master sort of planners and executors. But in reality, they're no more extraordinary than somebody who's competent running a business. So that's like where I think I've
a lot of the time I'll settle. It's like, hey, like, I want to believe that there is some master plan. There is some strategy behind all this and a long-term calculated move towards a freer future. But I find it hard to believe that a lot of this isn't just coincidence and it's just a bunch of people that don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I kind of like to think of it like, imagine if like humanity was just given the perfect money and you didn't have guardrails on things. You were allowed to pursue new technologies. You were allowed to pursue things. And I think like this master plan I talk about, is it like a master plan where they're controlling everything? They're controlling the red lines, right? The network, the hash rate, like maybe some of that stuff. They're like making sure are working and making sure adoption is happening worldwide to some degree. But they're not like individually like, you know, picking out scenarios and doing this thing. But imagine if you just gave the world perfect money and you let people be productive and you didn't have the guardrails through, you know, the Wall Street rigging and all these other things, right? Because Tesla was one of the most shorted stocks on earth. Now it's MicroStrategy, okay? You don't let certain institutions fail, right? You maybe protect a couple of them. And you just let humans do what they do. You don't have to protect everything, right? Because we generally, most of us are good people. We just want to live our lives and have a good time and be productive and make money and do all the things. And, you know, I think that's what it was. It wasn't like we had to control everything. It's like, let's just give humans perfect money and let's just see what happens. Because at the end of the day, like, there's more good people than bad, and they can absolutely overturn this small group of people controlling everything just through their ingenuity, through their courage, and through all these other things. And so I like to be on the hope side of things. I'm like, hey, we're like in great position to win this thing. We're a lot of Bitcoiners and a lot of MAGA, they're like dooming out and like, what if this happens? I want to trust the plan, but like, Trump made me feel bad. And it's like, man, like we're like, what a time to be alive that we get to fight this thing in the early stage of this. They're going to look at, you know, back 100 years and be like, did you know those guys paid taxes to pedophiles? You know, like, it's going to be a joke in the future. And so I'm just super like, you know, happy and motivated and optimistic about the time we're in right now, because it's absolutely our time to shine and to win this thing. And we've got them against the ropes. And, you know, I'm just super happy to be doing this.
I am too. I'm very hopeful, very optimistic. And again, it's hard not to be optimistic when you're in Bitcoin, particularly when you're using Bitcoin. Like, I've every time I pull out a hardware wallet or move Bitcoin from a multi-sig address to another address, like, the magic of knowing that, hey, I've got private key on this thing and I hit a button, it signs it, nobody else has access to this. It's magic, and it is incredibly empowering. And I am optimistic, and it is easy. That's one thing I'm trying to get better at, like doom scrolling. You have to recognize we're in a psychological war right now, an info war as well. And they're trying to attack your mind at all hours of the day, every day of the week, every year that you've been alive, trying to internalize that reality and recognize as you're perusing the web or social media, whatever it may be, that you're under attack. I think it's much easier to operate with that reality in mind, and anybody would deny that reality is completely idiotic. It's happening. It's documented.
Oh, yeah.
We know it is. And that, and that's the, there was one thing you said that, triggered a sort of another thought of discussion that we could go down. It's escaping me right now, but this whole, I think, idea of individual agency is something that has been a theme on the podcast, particularly with the emergence of these AI tools. Like, you can do things, you can engage in the info war much better than you ever could before now. And I think it's just engendering that agency in people, like, get out and actually do things peacefully, creatively, articulately, and from a position of moral authority, is important. And that's the other thing I was going to, I remember what I was going to say, which is, curious if you're religious and all, because I mean I'm Catholic. I think we're in a battle of good and evil right now, and that's the lens, the main lens through which I view this, and I view Bitcoin.
Absolutely, I think we're in a spiritual battle. This isn't a battle of flesh. This is a very deep spiritual battle. I'm not super religious. My kids, you know, went to a Christian school, and I kind of lean that way. But I think a lot of organized religion is captured in kind of an extension of the state. Right? We saw how many churches were shut down. we see that many churches who literally talk about bondage and slavery and read about the Israelites leaving the pharaohs, okay, we talk about, you know, all these things, and here they are in real life, literally battling the same thing, and none of them, right? I'm actually super disappointed in the evangelical community because so many of them have been pussified through their pastors and their mega churches that, like, how many of them are going to open up their books? Have you seen the books to your church, right? Like, how many people, how many pastors will open up their books and be like, yeah, come on in? How many, right, organizations still take in satanic money, satanic energy money through only dollars, right? And why do they do that? What are they protected by? They're protected by a 501c3. How does that 501c3 protect them? For no taxes? Well, that means they got to shut their fucking mouth. They're not allowed to say certain things because if they do, they lose their tax-free status. And so, you know, I try to be, you know, like hopeful with the evangelical community, but I don't see a lot of signal coming from them at all. They're kind of like hope and pray and like, let's hopefully like things will get better where it's like, hey man, like pick up a rock, pick up a digital rock. Don't throw it at anybody. You just got to have like a digital shield. Okay. And like practice what you preach and stop being a freaking hypocrite because like this is a time in your life. So when you get to the pearly gates and God is there and God's like, hey man, so I see here that you had a choice to pay your taxes to pedophiles. You're like, yeah, God, but like, bro, like they were going to put me in jail. And he's going to be like, so you continually supported genocide, mutilation, and all these different evil things on the premise that you were afraid to go to jail? That just doesn't jive with me, man. Like, you got to pick a side, bro. You're either in the spiritual battle or you're a domesticated sheep and your religion doesn't really mean anything to you. So I'm calling out the evangelicals. If that hurts some somebody's feelings, that's too bad.
I could have signed that. Yeah, it is hard. It's hard to get over it. I think the fear and the threat of violence on the other side of not paying your taxes is very paralyzing for many people.
Yeah, on purpose, right? They, you know, Joe Biden hired 87,000 IRS agents. They're going to use AI to track everybody. You know, they come to my door, eat a bag, man. You're going to take me in, go ahead, right? You can't take my energy. And imagine if more people did this. Imagine you have like the military going to everybody's houses trying to find their seed phrases. Like the operation of manpower it would take to do that is unfathomable at this point. And really, like, you know, all of us Bitcoiners, I go back to that, what's that movie? Vince Vaughn, it's like, you're like this big freaking bear, man, with these fangs and these claws and like the evil central bankers. It's like this bunny, man. Yeah, it's like swingers. Yeah, swingers. It's like you've got this bunny, man. This bunny is you're just like batting it around, but you've got these like fangs and claws and you're just like, you're not killing the bunny, man. Kill the bunny, right? Like you're weaponized now. It's the power is within you. And everybody's just like, I'm afraid of the bunny, right? Like, what about the bunny? What if it, you know, bites me or something? Anyways, it's just kind of comical that we've literally let it go this far. And here we are, right? Like, hopefully my message wakes up more people. You know, I'll be speaking at the Bitcoin conference. I did a session on digital 1776 last year. I'll be doing a session on how Bitcoin strengthens constitutional rights because Bitcoin is a Second Amendment right. It's a First Amendment right, right? It's all the rights. It is the Internet Bill of Rights in cyberspace protected by watts, joules per second, that nobody can take from you. And we need to start using it as a weapon system and not just a monetary system.
And so you think it's going to be a big year for Bitcoin?
Absolutely. I think it's going to be massive. I think there's going to be something special happening around July 4th, hopefully, around the 250th anniversary. You know, I'm not a number go up fiat guy, but, you know, I always look at hash rate. And as far as I know, we're winning, man, right? The hash rate is all that really matters to a lot of us. And so, you know, price will go up at some point. You know, when that happens, who knows? But, you know, we'll be here for it.
Why hash rate specifically?
Well, hash rate is the power of the network, is the military. And if you understand that right now, the hash rate is probably 5x the size of our entire U.S. Navy distributed across the globe, you realize that it would take 51% or more of that energy source to attack the network, to change the ledger, to confiscate your Bitcoins. And so when you realize the military of our network is the strongest on the planet that cannot be effed with, and that you realize as an individual, Gabriel's Horn, you can harness the entire wattage of the entire network with self-custodial Bitcoin to protect you, then you realize like you are protected by a might that is just enormous at this point that cannot be defeated.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at the hash right now. Back above one zeta hash.
Oh, nice.
It's funny. Quantum fear. Miners were unplugging because of quantum, but it was really the weather in the southwest section of the United States. Yeah. G-Money, this has been fascinating. Anything we didn't touch on that we should tell the audience before we leave?
No, I don't know, man. I think, you know, you guys can catch me on Rumble. I'm specifically on Rumble on Thursday nights. I host a show called Rug Pull Radio. I've had military generals on. I've had Michael Saylor on. So I've had some pretty big guests on. But if you want to see the other side of the conspiracy rabbit hole, come join us on Rumble. I'm on X as G Money Pepe. There's a whole Pepe rabbit hole maybe we can get into on another show. But yeah, dude, that's a whole nother
I've got some of the rarest Pepes. I've got some of the rarest original.
Wait, so are you a rare Pepe guy?
I am an appreciator. I had Joe Looney on the show. Gosh, this was 2017, 2018. He was one of the original Counterparty Rare Pepe guys, and he gifted me an open dime with a bunch of rare Pepes on them.
You still have it?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the next rabbit hole of, I believe tokenization is going to be the next level for Bitcoin that expands the entire network. And smart contracts and digital credit that Michael Saylor keeps talking about is the way to do it, because not everybody's going to get a chance to hold real Bitcoin. They're going to have some derivative of it. And if you understand that Counterparty layer 2 through op return is the only thermodynamically layer of Bitcoin layer 2 that's ever been basically generated, because the creation of this protocol was done through the burning of Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And if you understand the burning of Bitcoin, where Bitcoins were sent to a provably unspendable Bitcoin address, right? And if you understand thermodynamics, that energy cannot be created or destroyed, only transmuted. Okay, what is that? Well, the burned Bitcoin is not burned. It's just been transmuted into a different life form, because there was no ICO, there was no central authority that issued these tokens. And so Counterparty is something very, very special that a lot of Bitcoiners are not understanding, and that it's going to absolutely revolutionize the entire DeFi market. We'll talk about it another time, maybe. But if you look at my dig, the Pepes and Counterparty are big.
I had the pleasure of knowing Joe Looney, Dan Anderson, a lot of the people who worked on Counterparty. I love those guys.
Awesome. Yeah, they're all great Bitcoiners. They're all Bitcoin maxis. They're all great dudes.
Yeah. Well, G-Money, this has been great. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me on, Marty. This was a pleasure.
All right. Peace and love, freaks. Okay. Thank you for listening to this episode of TFTC. If you've made it this far, I imagine you got some value out of the episode. If so, please share it far and wide with your friends and family. We're looking to get the word out there. Also, wherever you're listening, whether that's YouTube, Apple, Spotify, make sure you like and subscribe to the show. And if you can leave a rating on the podcasting platforms, that goes a long way. Last but not least, if you want to get these episodes a day early and ad-free, make sure you download the Fountain podcasting app. You can go to fountain.fm to find that. $5 a month gets you every episode a day early, ad-free. Helps the show, gives you incredible value. So please consider subscribing via Fountain as well. Thank you for your time, and until next time.